Hey everybody, welcome to Listen Money Matters. If you want to burn some calories while working, then jump to conclusions, push your luck, and dodge deadlines. My name is Matt, and I'm here, as always, with Andrew. Andrew, how are you, and what are you drinking?
Damn, you blasted through that.
Nailed it!
Woo! I'm sweating a little bit.
Good.
Just gently sipping a Chimay Pierre's Trappistis Grand Reserve.
The blue one.
Yeah, I don't know. What does that say? Do you know that?
Grand Reserve.
No, I mean the part under the Chimay part.
Oh, I'm not even going to try that.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't enunciate it out for me. But it's awesome. It's an ale.
There's blue, red, and white.
Mm.
I don't know which one's the best.
You know,
or supposed to be the best.
I've had the blue. Such a gap between my Chimays.
Yeah, you always forget.
I just remember there was I think it was Chimay. There was a commercial where they poured it because it has a lot of head, and then they use the knife.
No, that's Stella, dude.
Duh!
Not even close. Not even close. It's a good commercial, but
it is
different beer.
I just think it's super cool. So yeah. Not the beer that I'm drinking.
Nope.
But it's good. It's a closer beer.
Yeah, for sure. I am drinking something real weird. Or at least it might be weird to you. I don't know. It's a raspberry lemonade milkshake.
Oh, my God. I want it.
It's a New England-style milkshake IPA brewed with lactose, citra, and lemon drop hops, raspberries, lemon juice, lemon zest, vanilla, and 21 of our closest friends. And it's a beer Bidewell Works, and there's literally 21 other beer,
so like
breweries.
So it was like a joint project between other breweries.
I guess.
Does it really taste like milkshakey?
No, it makes it taste milkshakey as the vanilla.
Mm.
So it's like vanilla, it's fruit, and it's made with lactose, which is milk sugar, which basically just makes it sweeter. And it gives that a little bit more mouthfeel. It makes it a little bit thicker.
So is it like a sour beer-esque?
Well, this one is soury because it has raspberries in it, so it's a little tart, but it's not a sour IPA, no. Mm.
Because, I mean, all the fruits and berries I love. And,
yeah.
I mean, I don't care if it's pink. I will drink that shit.
Oh, it is very pink.
It's got a little red hue, but that looks. So when are you sending me beer from Colorado?
You're not going to make me walk to the post office, are you? Dude, why don't you just come out to Boulder, Colorado, wherever. Any part of Colorado, and then you can drink the beers here fresh out of the taps.
So maybe I
can record episodes live. Drunk.
Fine. I'll arrange for it. I'll talk
but
to
I
my
will
people.
Also, I will also send you beers.
Damn right you
I'll
will.
Do it. I want to thank Brian Catton via email for our catchphrase. If you want to burn some calories while working, then jump to conclusions, push your luck, and dodge deadlines. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. And if you want to send us some catchphrases for the show, please go to the Listen Money Matters community on Facebook by visiting listenmoneymatters.com/community. And that is where you can submit your catchphrases or via email, which we'll talk about at the end of the show.
Mm.
Let's get into it, man.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuffs.
This is a good one. And I don't know if we've covered this before. It feels like we have.
Mm.
But I want to talk about investing when you don't have money to invest. Ways to invest.
Yeah. And we broke it down into two sections. And by we,
yes.
I mean you as the master crafter here. So there's like literally have to fit all this stuff in before the break. And then
Yeah. And there's a whole other section.
Yeah.
After the
different.
Break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different. So the first section I want to talk about is... You know, let's assume that you don't have a lot of money, right? Or at least maybe you think you don't have a lot of money.
It's all allocated somewhere.
Sure. There's money.
To Starbucks, whatever.
Yeah, right. Or, you know, your beer habit, for example.
Yeah.
So we're gonna tackle the, let's assume you don't have a lot of money and, or you need more money, literal dollars. And then how to invest that the best way possible.
Deal.
So we're going to talk about investing dollar bills. okay. or any currency. Let's not just make it U.S. Any currency. And then the second half, we're going to talk about investing, but not using actual currency.
I would say go on, but we'll wait after the break.
Yeah. So I want to start things off by saying that I know this is really hard because I sometimes get this excuse a lot, and I know for a fact I've made this excuse myself.
What?
But like, you know, I talked about the book, The Richest Man in Babylon.
Mm-hmm. It's like one of the most cliche. I've actually never read it.
Okay. It's short.
Is it good?
I think it's, I mean, it's.
I've never read it, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's money principles told through like classic fables, right?
Oh, okay.
From what I remember, it's been so long, but one of the principles, like the defining principle in the book, is pay yourself first.
Mm.
And this idea that, you know, you should take a percentage of your income, pay yourself, meaning invest it somewhere, throw it in a savings account, whatever, and then the rest of the money is actually yours. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so to give a literal example, let's say you're working a job, you get paid every 2 weeks or every week, and you take that paycheck and you take out 10% and you invest it in a savings account. We'll just be very basic in this example. Or you invest it in, you know,
you move whatever. It out of your checking account.
Right. You deposit your check. If it's direct deposit or a check, you deposit a check, you take 10% of that money and you move it somewhere else. And then you're only allowed to spend the other 90% on bills and everything else in your life. Mm. But that 10% basically just disappears.
Right.
And, you know, at least in the spending process.
And
it's
good because it creates like this arbitrary constraint on where, you know what, like if I can get AirPods, then I will. But if I can't, I won't.
Right. So it's like you can't use that 10% to buy AirPods. That 10% goes to an investment of some sort, long term.
But are AirPods an investment?
They are definitely not.
Okay. Go on.
So as much as I love them, they're definitely not. And they should be called AirBuds. I've mentioned this before. That was a missed opportunity.
There's a movie called that.
That's why it's funny.
Apple's not funny like that, though.
But the actual wired ones are called earbuds.
Mm.
And then the AirPods are not iPods.
Oh, okay, fine.
Right?
Fine. I actually never even drew a conclusion to...
Yeah.
They just tell me a name and I just take it and
right.
love
well,
it.
Well, that's... Okay. So, no, AirPods are not an investment. But I always get the excuse, and again, I've made this excuse. I need all the money.
Mm.
Whenever I get my paycheck, I need all of it to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford 10%.
That's bullshit.
What do you say
though?
To people like that? Like, okay. Well, tell me why and tell me how to fix that problem.
Well, I mean, okay. So we all know people who's like your spending expands to the amount that you have, and as when you get a better job, you get a raise, whatever. Then all of a sudden, you get the new mattress.
You'll find a way to use all that money.
Yeah, I mean, and it was really not that hard. You know,
it's very easy. Yeah.
This country, the U.S., is literally built around making sure that every dollar is spent.
Yeah.
We create businesses like Snuggies that are irrelevant. But if you got money for it, you're going to get it. Because, by the way, did you know that $500 million has been spent on Snuggies?
Really?
Yeah, that blew my mind. I was doing this research. Anyways.
And that's the blanket with sleeves.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like a potato sack with arms on it or something.
Right.
Yeah. So I found this thing, and to say that I found it is a lie. I literally searched Listen Money Matters and found it.
Your own website.
Yeah. And so really, actually, Candace found it.
Okay.
But it turns out that there is a tax credit called the Savers Credit.
Okay.
And at its best, and I'll explain the details, if you invest $2,000, at its best, you will get $1,000 back from the government.
No. What?
Yeah. Yes.
How?
If you put $2,000 into a retirement account.
Into an IRA.
Into an IRA.
Or a 401k?
Yeah. So you literally get a credit. And
but
so
how do you, what do you have to do to get that?
I mean, like, your tax person has to fill out a form.
Form, okay.
Right?
Or, like, can I go to H&R Block and do that? Or is that,
I'm sure they could. And, you know, they may not be savvy enough to be like, oh, looks like you qualify for, but you should walk in and be like, and just yell tax savers credit in their face. Mm. But to give you, like, the details, so if you alone make 18.5 or less a year, or a head of household make 27,700 less a year, or filing jointly 37,000 or less, 50% of the first 2,000 you invest, or $8,000, will be credited back to you. Yeah. So the next tier is a little bit above that, and it's 20%, and then the top tier, joint filers making 62,000 or less, head of households making 46.5 or less, or single files 31,000 or less, they get 10% back. So you would at least get $200.
But if you're making anything over that, no, you don't get anything.
Right. And so it's explicitly geared towards people who don't earn a lot. And so if you think about it, you put $2,000 towards your retirement. And in the worst case scenario, the government gives you $1,000 back, so it actually, you could spend it if you need that money.
Right. Or you could invest
Or you could invest it again. And on the top tier, if you're joint making 62, you have more flexibility, so you get 200 back. And again, you can just invest that shit or whatever. So that's
like their incentive. Do you have to, and it does it have to be within a government retirement account, or can it be any retirement account? Like, can it be better?
So it could be claimed for a contribution to 401k, 403b, 457, a simple IRA, or a SEP IRA. So you could be a small business owner. So essentially, your traditional and Roth IRAs are also eligible. So literally all the things. So if you are making less than those numbers, and we'll put a link in the show notes, this is the most free cash of the episode.
Okay.
But it's free cash.
All right. So anybody with the excuse that, like, you don't have enough money to put, I mean, look, this requires you to invest first before you get this money back.
Right.
Right. So it's an incentive to actually start investing into a retirement account, be it that an IRA or, I mean, an IRA if you're kind of, if your company, or your own business doesn't have a 401k plan, you're pretty much kind of like stuck in an IRA.
Yeah. Which is not bad by any stretch.
No, I have a Roth IRA that I contribute to. And you can only contribute up to what? It's like $5,500 a year.
Roughly,
around there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but the excuse that I get is like that $2,000 that you could spend, right? If you make under, what is it, $27,000 or something. Mm. I don't have that money. That's the mentality. Like, I can't even have $2,000 to put away.
Right.
And I get this a lot. Like, I have a family, I have kids, it's just me. Like, I need all the money to spend. And so again, what do you tell people who have that excuse?
You know, I wish it would be not fair or not correct of me to do this, but, you know, I wish you could see some of the emails that we get from people who are perhaps at an age where retirement will never be truly possible. Because if you're like, hey, I'm 60 and I'm ready to start, you know, that people are usually whatever. I think your future you will just thank you. I mean, it's hard to pitch. What would you say?
I mean, you're right. It's hard to pitch
because it's not for today.
It's insurance, right? It's insurance.
We have a serious retirement crisis in this country, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, oh, I don't need retirement. I'm going to work till I die.
Yeah. And sure, look, you have needs now. Screw the future, right?
You know, I think it's a hard sell because there's Social Security, right? Mm. It's like, well, I don't need to save for retirement. And I'm not talking about everybody. Look, there's some, you know, but I don't need to save for retirement. I have Social Security coming to me. And it's like, yeah, I don't necessarily, I mean, look, I'm not a
it is not
conspiracy
a lot.
Theorist, but it's not, yeah, it's not a lot. I mean, I don't know if your parents are in that at that age yet, but my parents certainly are. And, you know, it's not a lot of money. My dad still works and collects, you know, Social Security. So it's something, but it's not a retirement account. And we're I want to talk to people who can or at least want to invest, right? They're like, okay, I want to invest, but where's this money coming from?
Like, help me find and, space.
Yeah, you need to find space. Cutting frivolous spending is like one of the first things you can do. It's and I don't mean looking at a – you don't have to set up a fucking budget or anything like that because I don't do that. But it's like, you know what? I spend money on this thing every month, and do I really – care.
You're advocating no budget. I'm sorry. I was like marinating.
I know. I'm not.
That.
Look, hey, I'm just saying you don't have to. Obviously, if you have a budget, this coming up with this spending is a lot easier. Like, I have a budget. Like, I know what my monthly expenses are. For example, I'm just like going to try to think of my monthly budget off the top of my head. We bought Hulu Live TV, right?
Oh, what is that?
Cable.
Is that
basically it's cable?
Okay. Yeah.
And we really only bought it because it was the World Cup, and you know, we had friends over, we wanted to watch it, and we don't have cable, so that was the only way. But I don't need that. I don't watch live TV. And that's $40 a month.
Oh wow. That is yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, cut that. You know? Do you really need cable? You know, we have the internet now, like Netflix, you can get all the
people still pay for cable?
My dad bitches about the cable bill. Every time I talk to him, and I told him about what I do, and it's still kind of comparable, but like, you know, even like, I think he was saying he was spending like a couple $100 on his cable bill, and that includes internet, you know, and the TV and stuff. But if you get Hulu for, you know, $11 a month or whatever it is, I mean, you pretty much get everything you need. And if you want sports and you want to watch it live, like, you could spend $40 and get the live TV package. I think YouTube makes one too, YouTube TV.
Yeah.
So much cheaper.
The monopoly is broken. Like, you don't have an excuse anymore.
Exactly. That little extra money, you get it. But the thing is, you have to be good at that. You have to take that extra money and you have to put it into some sort of investment account. And you can keep doing this. And look, I tell my friends, if you can just put $100 a month away, like, it's something you will want, you know, after 12 months. Or even 6 months, you're going to see that money and you're going to want to put more into it.
I think
you're
going to
see that.
Go ahead. No, I agree.
No, it just cut me off, motherfucker.
I did, because what I say is always so important. I guess you said like even $100. That really resonated with me because the time that it sits in there is so much more important than the amount. Because if you wait 3 years and like, well, now I can stick $1,000 in, you wasted all of that growth.
And I think the biggest thing too is automating it so it kind of just disappears.
Yeah.
You know, like in your bank account, it just kind of goes away.
All of a sudden, you have a positive net worth and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah. And you, way later, but still. I mean, the best thing that I ever did, I mean, I read the book. I Will Teach You to Be Rich, which is got a douchey title, but it's really good because it's mostly about automating your finances, automating your personal finances. And we've talked about this a billion times on the show, but like, automating is the one of the best things you can do because it takes the onus off you to have to do anything.
Yeah.
And it's just like you get your paycheck in the mail or you get your automatic deposit. You know how much shit is taken out of that check before you even see the money?
The government knows. They're not like waiting for you to pay your taxes.
No.
Wells Fargo isn't waiting for you to pay your mortgage.
No. They're going to take it right out.
Yeah.
Well, your mortgage you still have to pay. But I mean, I'm talking about like
Social Security. Oh, before you even touch it. Yeah.
Right. Social Security. You know, if you have a job that has, you know, there's Medicare. If you have a job that has health insurance, like all that shit is taken out of your check. All those taxes are taken out before you even see it, right? So what's another 10%?
Yeah.
What's another 5%?
And the 401k contribution can be that.
Exactly. It can be that. And if your company matches, oh boy, take it.
Yeah.
It's free money.
You know, imagine if you made enough so that you get matching from your company, you know, whatever it is, and the savers credit. Like, you're giving yourself a raise.
Yeah. That's my, my boss sold that to me because I asked for a raise.
Well, okay, that's kind of a dick move, but it is. It was.
But look, I didn't have it at the time, and I said, hey, I want a raise. He goes, actually, what you want is a 401k plan, and we match up to whatever. I think it was you put in 3% or up to 5%, we'll match it. And I was like, I literally had to learn about it. And so I did it, and then the next month he cut the contributions. I still kept the 401k, and I still kept adding to it, even though he wasn't, you know, contributing anything to it. But yeah,
how much did you build up in that guy?
That's a good question. Maybe like 15,000 or something.
Damn.
Before I left.
That's good.
Yeah,
it's nice.
I mean, I spent it all, but yeah.
Oh, you withdrew your 401k.
Yeah, I was in debt. And, yeah. That was just a while ago. This is like way before the podcast. You know, entirely. So. Yeah, there's that, and the best thing that has happened to me, one of the best things like financially that's happened to me when we started this podcast, and this is not a plug, they are not paying us for this, but learning and using Betterment, I still use it.
You don't even know how many people when like I meet them in person and we go to meetups and they just like rave about, because
it's stupid how simple and you're. Like
it's been 4 or 5 years since we had learned about it. I remember when we saw it, we're like, whoa! Like we were like,
and I've been contributing ever since that first day I signed up for it.
It just abstracts away all of the bullshit. I mean,
and I had to explain. Like I was just at breakfast with my friend back in New Jersey, and I was like, he was like, "What do you use for your invest? Like, what do you use?" I'm like, "I don't know how many times I got to scream about Betterment," because he's like, "I don't like looking at stocks." Yeah, I don't either. It fucking sucks. I don't want to do it. I'm not good at it. I've already tried this. I've already went down the road of spending money on stocks and it not doing well.
It almost never works out. I mean, I hear it's worked out never for people who bought SiriusXM.
It is not. Who are those idiots?
I don't know. I don't know who would do that. Howard Stern with your money, please.
Dude, yeah, and like the idiots who invest in Bear Stearns, it's like, come on. Sorry. Fuck Lehman Brothers, right?
Yeah.
Which one? It was not Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, right?
Yeah.
All right. Joke failed. But yeah, dude, I remember I started by putting $100 a month into it. And then you get kind of not addicted, but you get like
you see the growth and they show you this graph where and they project where it will be in like 5 years. Yeah. And you're like, where, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, I'm obsessed with it. In fact, it's one of those things that it took 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's been a while. It took so long to build up this tolerance of like, I'm not allowed to touch that money. Like that money doesn't exist in my brain. It's not even an option. Like,
it's your peace of mind. Like if you were going to war and you had to do some like ridiculous shit, like then, you know,
I guess. But right now I almost forget. Like when I was in all this debt, I talked about in the mistake show. I'm like, I never thought that. Oh, I have that money. I just didn't even.
Oh, same.
Didn't even come to mind because it disappears out of my account. I don't even know what's happening. It's just gone. Like, is it Betterment just automatically sucks it out? So the other thing I want to bring up, which I also used and have been using since day one, we talked about it on this show, and this is one of those things that, again, they're not paying us for this. I don't even know if they've ever been a sponsor, but
no,
I still use Acorns.
So Acorns, I find interesting. So I'm. So Acorns, for people who don't know, acts very similarly to Betterment with one major or maybe two major differences. One, if you spend, you know, $1.10, you could click this button and then, you know, you hook your credit card into it. And then always it'll round up to the nearest dollar and take that extra 90 cents and put in your Acorns account. And so...
Yes.
You essentially are, over the course of just living and spending money, you're like shaving, you're slicing investment money out. but
right. It automatically does it.
It automatically invests it. And it's not going to be an enormous amount. You know, maybe it'll amount to, I don't know how big of a spender you are, how many transactions, but
sure.
You know.
Well, okay, so I'm
but then there's found money. Is that what, do you use found money?
I think so. I'm actually pulling up my Acorns account right now. So I do have found, I do use found money.
So
which is yeah.
So wait, explain to me how you use found money.
Well, here's how I use Acorns. And here's the problem with Acorns. Is all right, so you hook your credit cards up to it, you hook your debit cards up to it, and you're right. It rounds, like let's say you spend you go to Starbucks, you spend $2.95 on a coffee. And they will round up to and they'll
take that 5 cents. Well, hold on.
Starbucks will still charge you $2.95.
Yes.
But then Acorns is like, "Oh, there's 5 cents."
And they will go to your bank account, not to your credit card.
Correct. And it knows that 5 cents exists, and it keeps building that up, and then once it builds up to a certain amount, it'll just deduct, you know, it'll deduct that money from your either
your bank account. It will not do it from your credit card.
Correct. From your bank account and invest it into what's like a Betterment like account.
I was like, "Don't tell me correct. You didn't know."
I did know. You're helping me explain it. All right, so look, this is going to be very underwhelming. How long ago? When did we start the show? When do you think was the first time we mentioned Acorns?
It's got to be like 4 or more years ago.
All right, let's just say 4 years. Mm. Can you? I've been using Acorns this entire time. Mm. What do you think? How much money do you think I have in my account?
So, if you made 100 transactions a month, which I think would be insane, and everyone had 0.1 cent on it, you'd be putting $100 in a month, which would also be insane. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, dude. Like, at the ultimate extreme, if you were just a spendaholic, maybe you'd have like $3,000 maybe.
So, I have $2,291.31 in my Acorns account.
But you also use found money.
I use found money.
Is it good? Like, or are you adding additional stuff
in? It says I have 60 cents in found money.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. I haven't.
I think found money is.
The only thing I use is Dollar Shave Club, apparently, is like I subscribe to Dollar Shave Club and it puts 30 cents every time I do a transaction.
Oh, shit. So you get a discount on services.
Yeah, I think I have to add them in, but yeah. So, The problem that I should have more in there, and the reason I don't have more in there is because like I changed my credit card numbers change, or
and it's like you know, resync so I have to, it, and
you have to go back and resync it. And I, you know, Acorns is one of those things that's I've had this for so long and kind of forgot that I had,
and just is doing.
Imagine like waking up one day and it's like, oh shit, I have $1,000.
So my biggest like thing with Acorns, so that is awesome that we literally like you know. So you set up 4 years ago, all of a sudden you have like almost 2,200 saved.
Right.
And so it's like, that is like, it's not the found money part of Acorns, but it's kind of like found money.
Sure.
And I guess the thing is, you can't really, my axe to grind, you can't rely on it solely. It is like icing.
It's if you're like, I don't have money, it's an automated way to pull money out of your account where it doesn't really affect you day to day. Like you're not going to miss $5 out of your account. Mm. Like you're just not. And I would argue you probably won't miss 10%. Even if you started today and said, okay, the next paycheck I get, I'm going to take out 10% of it and stick it in Betterment. Mm. I'm just going to do it. You know, whether you do it manually or not, I guarantee you, you're not going to miss that. It's not that much money.
So I agree. But I want to jump to one more thing to round this out. And I feel like the horse has been beaten to death. It's not even pulp. It's just like liquid. It's like the T-1000 after it like melts. Is that what? Yeah. That was a good reference.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Okay.
Again, T2.
Nailed it.
So good at movie references.
That's like the only movie reference I could ever make. Is Terminator from like 84 or something.
92.
Fine. I watched that at a sleepover party once. It was so great.
Yeah.
I was in a sleeping bag. Anyways.
I don't know why I needed that information.
I just felt like I had to share that. It's kind of important.
Sleeping bag.
But fees. There are so many people who email us who are getting not just like they're paying like a lot of fees. They're getting fucking destroyed. Like,
what do you mean by fees? Like, what fees?
So, investment fees, advisor fees, management fees, just like people because
credit card fees,
huh?
Credit card fees.
I mean, look. I mean, that's yes, absolutely credit card fees. But I was even just thinking,
interest and stuff, yeah.
Like, yeah, dude, any of these things and
overdraft fees.
It makes me so sad because, like. Yeah. If you're overdrawing your account, you obviously don't have a lot, and then they're going to charge you $35. That is them preying on you because you don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, I was the king of overdraft fees.
I feel like
that's the reason I got kicked out of. I'm not allowed to use. I'm blacklisted on ING, or now it's Capital One 360.
Well, I thought the reason is because you cursed out a person on the
phone
because
of overdraft fees, though.
Well. Don't blame the overdraft fees for your Italian anger.
I wouldn't have had to call and curse out and say something about his mother if if I didn't overdraft my own account. Okay,
sir, my mom didn't overdraft your account.
It was look. That is the most shittiest thing ever, and I don't even know what it's like anymore because I've been using Simple again forever since we talked about it on the show many, many years ago, and they don't have overdraft fees. It's just not a thing.
Mm. You know, it's great. So Fidelity doesn't either.
And I've definitely overdrafted. I'm not immune to it. Even like all these years later, I'm not immune to it. I still do it, but I don't get charged $35 a fucking day.
I'm a crazy person. I have to leave like a buffer. It can never, like, numbers cannot go below a certain amount.
We all strive to be like you, Andrew. We all want to be like Andrew. Just leaving buffers, just buffering all day.
That's right. I feel great.
I'm sorry. Go on.
No, that was basically it. I mean, the thing is, I think that a lot of people feel like some of these fees are necessary or unavoidable, but they so aren't. The other day, so Laura has this business card, and I guess you have to keep $2,000 in it, or they TD charges you some whatever amount of money. And
like that,
she just didn't, for all of the million reasons that she didn't. And we went into the bank for a completely different reason. And the guy, you know, we talked with him, we're nice, didn't even realize we were being charged these fees, and it wasn't the reason we were there. He was like, hey, do you want me to refund the fees? And we're like, that would be awesome. And he did it for like the 2 months it happened. And he didn't ask. So if you actually ask, they will just do it. So ask.
Yeah. And then take that money and invest it somewhere.
Yeah. And if someone's charging you a ton of fees, an investment advisor, a bank, whatever, leave them. They're assholes.
Yeah.
That's not
There's other shit now. It's kind of like the cable companies. Like, there's other shit now.
Like, dude, you're Simple. They don't charge you overdraft fees. So you don't really think about that. I go to ATMs all in weird places, and it's like, this is $5. Same. This is Fidelity refunds all ATM fees. And they're not the only ones.
So they're Simple.
Yeah, exactly. So don't, like, accept these things as, like, the reality of your life because fees... There's no reason you should be paying fees in 2018.
Yeah, it's death by 1,000 paper cuts.
It's fucking serious, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's take a break.
Mm. I've been cursing a lot.
I want to drink some of this beer. We do?
No, I have been.
Oh, well.
We'll take a break. I'll collect myself.
Just, like, scream the F word on the break.
During break, yes.
During break. Just scream it and just get it all out of your system.
All right.
All right, here we go. Okay. I want to talk about a different way of thinking about investing. Because the title that we want to go with is Investing Tips When You Don't Have Money to Invest. Mm-hmm. So let's assume you have $0 to invest in this section.
Like, not only is everything allocated and you literally have nothing that you could cancel, you also have crickets in your bank account.
Yeah. there's moths flying out of your wallet.
Exactly. Like, they're not even in it anymore because they left because there's nothing left, to eat.
Yeah, there is nothing in your wallet.
What's in your wallet? Okay. Nothing.
Nothing. Not even moths. Bitch. Let's talk about investing time.
Mm.
As fluffy as this concept seems, but I want to give a very clear understanding of what I'm talking about. So I was when I was thinking about this episode, I'm like, okay, you know, where can you invest? Where can you find money? Like, found money? Where can you find money to, like, if you don't have any to invest? You know, what you know, tools can you use, like Betterment and other things, that to like actually do the investing for you?
Right.
And I was like, well, wait a minute. There's other ways. There's other things to invest in. Doesn't have to be Betterment. Doesn't have to be the stock market. It can be real estate. That was the first thing I thought of, right? I was just thinking of other things to invest in.
Right, right.
Rather than, like, not having money part. And I was like, well, how would you invest in real estate if you had no money? I was like, well, could you invest in doing some work around your house that improves the value of your home so that when you went to sell it later, you would actually make extra money from it.
Oh my God, I love, yeah. Yeah, that, right? That is like without the spending idea. Money,
right? Mm. I mean, I don't know what that looks like, but that's the thought train that led me to
fix your kitchen, section. Fix your bathroom.
Right. I mean, those things require, yeah, but some of those things require tools and require materials, which would cost money ultimately. But it led me to this thing of like, well, what if you invested in yourself and made more money because of that, and then use that money to actually invest in the stock market?
Oh my God. Did I tell you the boot camp story recently?
No.
So have you heard of like software boot camps?
No.
So for example, in my past life, I was a data engineer, and they have a data engineer boot camp. And I don't know, some of them are free, some of them cost money, and you go into this thing, and it's like 2, 3, 8, whatever amount of weeks, you do this thing, and they will guarantee that you will get a job. Like, and it's to the point where it's like, you know, maybe you paid $15,000 for this thing. They will refund it to you if you don't get a job the next days. If you don't pay for it, they literally do not make money unless they place you, because they get like referral fees from the companies they place you in. So you can literally...
So it's like a career incubator.
Yeah, essentially. And it's people who have done this stuff before. They know exactly what you need to know. And at iHeart, we, not through trying to do this, wound up hiring a bunch of really, really great people who came through these incubators, where they were like peers of me or other people in the areas they worked, and they only really did it for like 5 weeks.
Now, you're talking about people who have a skill but did not go to college to get that skill, but instead went through a boot camp to obtain that skill and then got a job at a decent company.
Yeah, and so literally this dude who, Nick, who is at my house not that long ago, his origin story is him literally as a trucker and blah, 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 blah. Now he, I think he does DevOps, and he makes like actual literal buttloads of cash.
And doesn't make literal buttloads,
I mean,
of cash.
There is a certain amount where I think it's only described as buttloads.
Okay. All right. That's fair. So he didn't go to college.
Period.
For
hard
this
stop.
Particular skill. Oh, never went to college.
From my understanding, no.
Okay.
Like, just no.
So that like leads to me to what I was like, my first example is like, you can invest in yourself to learn a like a skill.
Yeah.
Right?
And
massively get a better
amp
job from
your
it.
Salary. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that this is the same thing, but I have a friend who was a school teacher. You know, they make good money where he was. But he's really a good writer, and I kept telling him, I'm like, look, you don't have to work as a bouncer in the summer. Like, you're a good writer. You can make money writing articles on the internet for people. Like, I have a bunch of friends who do, like, you know, they're bloggers that do what I do. And I'm like, they need writers and they need good ones. And he just didn't know how to get into that system, but he learned, and then he started learning SEO, how to write for SEO, and then started putting job ups on Upwork or wherever, job boards and stuff. He quit his teaching job. That's what he does.
Everyone that we've told, and I know that you, Swim University, your website has articles, and I don't know how many people you've told what you pay for an article, but anyone who writes that hears what we pay per article, and it is absolutely a million times worth it to us, they are blown away. You can.
There's a lot of jobs like that, especially online. I mean, like, I'm familiar with the online space. Mm. So are you. I'm sure there are skills that you can learn where you can get paid in jobs that are not the internet. Mm. You know, like, for example, I'm trying to think of an example.
Like SEO and web design.
Dude, I mean, look, you learn how to play guitar. You can teach guitar lessons.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, simple idea like that, right? I learned website design on the side, did not go to college for it, learned it on the side, you know, and that was my first side job. Was I would always go to work, I always had a normal job, but then on the side I would do website design and, you know, make $1,000 to $5,000 a client, a job. And even when I was fired or when I was let go from my job, and I ended up transitioning into Swim University full time. During that time, I wasn't making that much money. Even during the first couple years of the podcast, I wasn't making any money. I was still doing website jobs on the side, you know, just to make ends meet. And then now I have a full time job. I don't need the extra cash, but if I did, that is absolutely a skill that I still know how to do. I'm very good at it, and I could tap into it and make extra money. And that's actually one of my fallbacks. Like,
Laura and I have had the same discussion. We could always just make websites for people.
Yep. I said, if all my websites blow up, this podcast goes to hell in a handbasket, whatever, I can just design websites for other people or design graphic stuff. I learn these skills all, you know.
But tell me about the non-internet things. So you don't have any, because I could help you.
Well, I can think of things that I'm good at that are not, you know, internet based. Like, for example, I'm very good at audio engineering. Mm. So I could go and part time if I wanted to. Like, there's this other part of like getting another job, getting a side, you know, the term is side hustle, right? People like calling it a side hustle.
I feel like people phase out when they hear that word. Like,
good, you should. Yeah, because it's a stupid word. I hate
so
it.
So generic and meaningless.
Yes. So let's just call it what it is. It's a side job, right? It's an extra job is what it is.
Right.
Right? Now, an extra job.
So old school.
Right. Extra part-time job.
That's what my grandpa called it, his second job.
That would be a terrible... I mean, yeah, you can't make a podcast out of that. The extra part-time job school.
Let me teach you how to work five jobs.
Let me teach you how to work twice as hard as you're working now.
But
there's ways
you could use it as a stepping stone to get to what you need. Which is, it is a tried and true strategy that your great grandpa can tell you about because he did it too.
Sure. Yep. And for me, if I didn't, like, let's say the internet didn't exist in my world, I am very good at making music. Like, I'm an audio engineer. Mm-hmm. So I could, one, go and work at a recording studio locally and help artists record their music. Or I could invite people to my house and record them, which I've done before. I've made money that way before as a side job.
Okay, so when I had a real job. Here's my problem: is that still uses the computer? And I got one.
Not the way I used to do it. I used to use a fucking reel to reel, dog.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
All right.
Before computers. I mean, I was a kid. I was a very very young kid.
But that is awesome. But it is also niche. Right?
It's super niche. Yeah.
So I got something that a buddy had told me about and I didn't know was a thing. And I'm gonna forget the name of it because I only... So I used to work with a bunch of really cool Indian dudes when I was at Lehman Brothers and I learned about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there's this term for when back in India, like a woman would make a meal, like a lunch or typically a dinner. Yeah. And then they would deliver it. So they would make
in those like metal containers, right?
I think so.
The stackable metal containers.
I forget the name of it, and I'm sorry, but they would essentially every day of the week they'd make whatever they're gonna make, you know, for their family, and make X amount more. And then they would essentially deliver it to all these people who also wanted dinner but didn't have an amazing woman to or man to cook for them. And so in Hoboken, and I'm sure in many cities where there are single people or just areas, people need dinner. And they can't, most people can't cook or don't want to. You could cook for other for your neighbors.
Yeah.
And sell them dinner.
Yeah. There's a lot of those. There's a lot of jobs like that. Mm. I mean, there's cleaning, house sitting. Dude, house sitting?
Animal cat sitting?
Animal sitting. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, if we owned a dog, which we're not allowed to in our place currently, but if we did, we would absolutely be hiring a dog sitting service.
You know,
we'd have to. We travel a lot. And, you know, even if we're just gone for the weekend, we need a dog sit. Because my parents aren't here. Like, when I used to own a dog back in Jersey, it was easy to drop off my parents. But now... No, it wouldn't even be an option.
In the old building that I lived in, there was this guy, and he was a consultant, and he did well, but his wife came over to the U.S., and she didn't have a visa to work, but she had the apartment, and she had all her time, and so they essentially just took dogs in during the day for a week or two, whatever. It's good money.
What do you say to people who are like... I don't have enough time.
Well, I would say not now.
I have kids. But you probably hear this a lot. I got kids.
In 3 months, your iPhone will tell you exactly how much time you spend on every app. And I believe...
Wait, is that live now?
No, it'll be in like 3 months when the new...
Oh, okay.
But Android, I believe the latest version now tells you that. And so I would say... Go and tell me how much time you spent on Facebook or Instagram in the last week. And don't jump off a bridge because it'll probably be terribly high numbers. Just spend half that time doing, you know, I don't know.
Something.
Yeah.
Or just thinking about doing something else.
Yeah.
So this idea of investing in yourself and, you know, to either learn a new skill and get a better job from that new skill, right? Learning new skill and get a extra side job, right, from that extra skill, or taking inventory of what you can do, right, and doing something on the side.
And
it takes work. It takes work.
Dude, don't buy new underwear with that second job money. Invest 100% of it. Like, that is the only goal. Like, let it be the thing that lifts
you
out of your
situation. Let it make
you
more money.
Yeah.
Let it work for you, right?
They're like little workers.
I was just thinking, my friend does woodworking, and I've had him he's made me a bow and arrow for my, this is decoration for my house. Mm. You know, I helped him out with something, so he's like, here, I made you a bow and arrow. I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. He made me a mash paddle for homebrewing.
That's cool.
He made me tap handles for my kegerator. That's like, he can just do these things I can't do. Like, I literally can't do it. And if I need to make, like, I want to one day own a keezer, I want to build a keezer.
What is a keezer?
I'm going to call. You take a chest freezer and you take off the lid and you build a little wooden collar and you add tap handles into it and you store all the kegs in the keezer or the chest freezer, and you do a temperature thing and you can put multiple kegs in there and pour. Basically build your own, like, tap system.
Oh, so it's like, but it keeps it all cool. So it's you're not pouring room temperature.
Right, you're keeping all the, you know, and you control the temperature of the freezer by installing like an additional thermometer. Keg and freezer, right?
Yeah.
So, but my point is, I can't even glue two pieces of wood together. Mm. Like, I would be completely lost. So I'm going to be calling him, and I'm going to offer him money to help me, and he could take that if he wanted to, and, you know, divert that skill set that he's had and enjoys into a, you know, side income. He could be building he may be a really cool mash paddle. It's really cool looking, and I can maybe add it in the show notes or something, but he could sell it on Etsy. That's where I found them. They were $100 a piece on Etsy. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a, he made me that's a lot of money, and you're probably not going to have a ton of competition with, like...
No, I mean, he made me stumps. We have we have end tables in our house that are just giant stumps of wood.
That's super cool.
I went to an arborist, like, kind of near my house, and they just, a guy that cuts trees.
Arborist?
Yeah, they're called arborists. Yeah, the people who, like, make countertops out of wood and...
Oh.
They basically cut big ass trees.
I thought Brooklyn was hipster. I don't think they have arborists here.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, the guy just had like a huge yard of just trees, and there was a tree, and I was like, "Can I have a piece of that tree?" He's like, "Yeah, $50." I was like, "Okay." And then my friend like shellacked it, or cured it and did what he had to do, and you know, we have these end tables now.
And how much did he pay?
I didn't pay him anything. I bought the stumps. He did it for free.
Wow, you're mean.
No, I offered, but he was, you know, that's not what he wants. Yeah, he's doing it as a favor or whatever. But I'm saying he could parlay that skill into something else. And the stump that I actually bought from a store that is maybe, you know, a third of the size of the ones that we actually got from him was $250 from West End. Yeah, ridiculous. Insane. Now, I didn't spend that money. We got a credit from we opened up a credit card, you know, spent money on a couch, closed the credit card, but got like $250 back. So I don't want to like say I'm blowing $250 on a
That's
fucking
pretty
stump.
Cool. Fine.
Yeah, but I was like, and he was like, dude, I could make those. I'm like, whoa, okay. Just saying.
I think that's the thing. Know. Is like people don't realize that everyone has like all these like really cool like eclectic skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you can turn it into anything. It doesn't, you don't have to build a massive business. Like, you don't have to take, I mean, even like what we did and turn it into a full-time job.
You don't have to dedicate your life to it. It doesn't have to be a 10-year thing. You could do it for a month and be like, actually, I hate it, and then stop.
Right. So, I mean, so that's kind of what I wanted to get into is like, there is other ways of investing time instead of actual money. Mm. And investing that time could equal to money. Or
investments. So you shellac a bunch of wood, and then that shit goes directly into your Betterment account.
There you go. You just put the wood. It's really easy. It's a click of a button, uploads your wood right to the account. But I mean, or you can go the hard route like we went, which is you invest time into building an asset for yourself that ends up paying off for a long period of time. I think this podcast, as hard as we worked on it, it was a side job for both of us for a very long time.
Yeah, I've only been doing this as my job for like a year.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, you got gray hairs from doing it, but...
But each of those gray hairs is worth a lot.
Right, right.
In
yeah,
something.
So invest in yourself. Invest in yourself, invest in time. You know, everyone has time. But I guess some would argue... You know, again, like it's really hard for me as a person, as a dink, right? We're a couple of dinks.
Double income, no kids.
Thank you.
Just you know, clarifying.
Right.
That.
I know. But I knew you would. Thank you. But it's really hard for me to go like, oh, just get a fucking sad job. It's very easy for me to say that, and my friend's like, well, I have kids. You don't get it. You don't understand. I'm like, you're right. I mean, I don't.
I just want to say, I read this study, and not to go on into a million-hour episode, but I read this study about single people, dinks and stuff, people like you, people like me, and then adults who have kids, and almost universally, the adults with kids are far more productive than those without.
They're forced to be.
Right, and so what happens is, like, we are actually really wasteful with our time, dude. Like, I had to prep for an episode, and I don't know, I was just, like, reading the news, and I had to, like, dance around the apartment. But when
no one's yelling for our attention.
Exactly. And so when you claim that few minutes for yourself, like, you're in it. So perhaps if you have kids, you can double your
progress.
Swim university-ness.
Yeah. Man, I wish I had kids. Would be so much further ahead than I am right now.
So I'm saying.
All right. Well, you feel good about that?
Yeah.
All about investing tips when you don't have any money to invest.
So.
Yeah.
Tax credit.
Yep.
Stop paying for stupid shit, including fees.
Yep.
And make yourself better so you earn more. And if you have extra time, and I'm sorry, you do, everyone has extra time, use that money to basically earn into your investment account.
Boom. Way to sum it up. Well, in case you missed anything, we'll have everything in the show notes, of course. You can either check your preferred podcast app or you can visit listenmoneymatters.com/show. It'll all be there. And please subscribe wherever you normally listen to podcasts. If you're on an iPhone, you have the Apple Podcast app. You can just listen to it. If you're on Spotify, are you on Spotify?
We will next week be on Spotify.
All right.
Before this goes live. So
there you go.
Probably.
Spotify, Google Play, Overcast. Doesn't even matter. This thing is so free. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And tell your friends about us. You can point them to your favorite episodes, and hopefully they'll become a subscriber too, and you'll both have something to talk about when you go to the bar on Saturday night. Oh, did you hear that episode of Listen to Money Matters?
Andrew's voice is so smooth.
Yeah, it's so smooth. I love it. Yeah, I did hear that episode. Well, I thought his voice was smooth too. Let's high five.
All right. Every time Andrew says money, let's do a shot.
Let's do a shot. We're bonding.
This is what men do.
This is what they do. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to talk about, you'd like us to talk about on this show, or if you want to talk about it yourself, go for it. You can email us at listenmoneymatters@gmail.com. And all the tools and resources we normally mention on the show and that we mentioned in this show will be and are available at listenmoneymatters.com/toolbox, all one word. Did I nail it?
Yeah, you did.
All right, I'm leaving. Later, Andrew.
Later, dude.
Please tell your friends about this show.